Okay. Well, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I wonder if General Kistan would lead us in a pledge.
Please. Will you join me in our pledge, Julie? After three.
To the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
So the agenda today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action will be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The Commission encourages public participation. If you wish to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during general public comments, please complete a speaker request form and turn it in to the clerk prior to the reading of the item. Speakers are given 3 minutes to speak. Clerk will run the timer and announce your time when your time is up. Public comment may also be submitted electronically by emailing response@ocgov.com. With that, we'll move on to the roll call. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Thank you, Chairman. Please indicate your presence when I call your name. Doug Chafee.
Here.
Don Wagner. Jim Vanderpool. Scott Stiles.
Here.
Deborah Rose, Sue Parks,
here.
Robert Dunn,
here.
Sean DeMetropoulos,
here.
Richard Afable,
here.
Nirsan Kistan,
here.
Monique Davis, Jack Twan, AJ Patella,
here.
Todd Spitzer,
here.
George Searcy, Christy Cornwall,
here.
Paul Wyatt,
here.
Milo Penniman,
here.
Matt Bates, Tim Houchin. Thank you. We do have a quorum, Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. One housekeeping item. We are being live streamed. As a reminder, please be aware that the meet will be hot mic'd for the live stream of the meeting. So please keep your side conversation to a minimum. They might be picked up by the microphone throughout the room. So with that, we'll move on to our first discussion item. Madam Clerk, will you read the item, please?
Yes. The first item on the agenda today is the introduction and welcome of the new appointees to the Commission to End Homelessness.
I'd like to welcome our new members to the Commission to End Homelessness, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you. Doug Beck, will you please open the agenda item for us today?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you all. As been mentioned, we're fortunate enough to have new members here today, and I'd like to help introduce them a little bit. On December 6, 2022, the Board of Supervisors approved the appointments of these new commissioners unanimously. So we went through the recruitment process over the last couple of months for these four seats, really happy to have three out of the four folks here. Unfortunately, Ms. Davis couldn't make it due to a personal health concern, so she will plan on attending in February, and said, I believe she mentioned she'd most likely be attending via the YouTube stream. So I'll go through a little bit of a little introduction for each of the members and then ask if any of them would like to sort of introduce themselves. So for the municipal fire representative seat, that used to be Chief Black. Fortunately, now we have Chief Sean DeMetropoulos, who's overseen, who has 25 years of experience as a firefighter for various fire departments as the fire chief of Orange's Fire Department. He provides overall management of the fire protection and life safety resources necessary to maintain an effective level of service to the community. In our hospital representative seat, Christy Cornwall is joining us. She's the Director of Community Health and Investment for Providence Mission Hospital. Ms. Cornwall has worked on a variety of health-related issues focused on public health and homelessness. In her 20 years of professional experience, her current role Habitats are collaborating and coordinating with local nonprofits throughout the community in regards to human services and to help access and address community needs, including those who are impacted from homelessness. Our business representative is Ms. Monique Davis, who's the Chief Executive Officer and President for Habitat for Humanity, Orange County. Ms. Davis has demonstrated commitment and professional experience in advancing affordable housing throughout Orange County, including development and preservation of housing. Through successful collaboration with all levels of government, community-based organizations, community leaders, private donors, and volunteers, Ms. Davis has been able to advance the goals and implement strategies that make Habitat for Humanity Orange County so impactful for many residents. And then our last seat, behavioral health representative, is Richard Afable. So as you all know, as our vice chair, this is technically this is an appointment. Mr. Afable was the hospital representative previously and is now joining us as the behavioral health representative. Mr. Afable serves as the president and board chair of Be Well Orange County and Mind OC, focusing on delivery and access of mental and behavioral health services for residents throughout Orange County. Mr. Afable is being recommended for reappointment to the Commission on Homelessness after, like we said, sitting in the behavioral health, sitting in the hospital representative seat. So with that being said, I don't know, Mr. Chairman, if we want to open it to those members to introduce themselves briefly.
Vice Chair, since you have a name that begins with A, would you like to lead off and tell us a little bit what you're doing?
Well, I'll just comment that I'm very pleased to be reappointed to the commission also happy that I could be appointed to the behavioral health seat because that allows Christy Cornwall to come and join us in the hospital seat. My prior role was with the hospital community, and now my role is more so in the behavioral health community, and it's my pleasure to be on the commission.
Thank you for that. I'm so glad to have an able vice chair. Well, thank you for joining us.
And an affable.
We try.
And Christy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hello, everyone. Happy to be here. Excited about this opportunity. I've had a long history with Mission Hospital and have worked with many nonprofits. I think that housing is very close to health, and so I'm excited to participate.
Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate the talent that you bring. So who's our next?
Chief Demetropoulos.
Okay. Our fireman here, and thank you for all the time.
Thank you for having me as part of the commission. New experience for me, so a lot to learn. I think all of our communities deal with the homelessness in different ways. I know that we have the Hub OC in our city at this point, along with Be Well, so we're very much mixed into that. I've been in the fire chief position for 2 years now and plan on being there for about three more. So glad to be a part of this group. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's also a pleasure to work with our fire authority. And the other person is here or not?
No, unfortunately, she couldn't make it at a last minute.
All right. Are there any public comments, Madam Clerk?
We do not have any public comments for item number one.
Thank you. And would you move on to discussion item two and read the next item?
I will, and then just for the record, I'll note that Commissioners Jack Twan and Deborah Rose have now joined us. Thank you. Welcome. Item number two under the discussion calendar is an update from the Office of Care Coordination regarding the 2023 survey, the Homeless System Pillars Report, and future topics.
Mr. Brack, would you please provide us an update on the Office of Care Coordination?
Absolutely. Before I get 100% started into it, I wanted to also mention two things in terms of our updates. As I think you all see, as we discussed in our last commission meeting, thought it would be helpful. There was a suggestion to ensure that we have our pillars prominently posted here in our meetings, so that we, providing the entire room a little bit of a not only a reminder, but a little reference point to, as we discuss and incorporate our pillars framework throughout all of our discussions. Also, each commissioner has in front of them essentially what you see up there on those boards, but in a in a paper format. And we'll make sure to provide that as we continue to move forward. So we're always, have that as easy reference as we're going through and referencing some of the principles, values, and things to that nature. Additionally, I did want to mention that our office is continuing to seek an operator for the cold weather shelter. So at the moment, especially as we go through this cold spree, we are aware of the need and interested in the cold weather shelter. We're working on identifying an operator for that. So I wanted to make sure that that was that we communicated that piece of information. That being said, I'll jump into the 2023 survey update. So survey ad hoc group had their first meeting last week to review the initial work that our office, the Office of Care Coordination, has done to prepare for the survey and also talk about next steps. The ad hoc group consists of representatives from the offices of five commission members' seats that are shown above here on the slides. Those commissioners have identified key experts in their agency or department that will be able to help the commission identify the topics and draft survey questions, discuss operational requirements and next steps for the survey, and then ensure that there's collaboration with our local continuum of care, which is critical for a handful of reasons. But as we've sort of dubbed this as an effort that is in place of our annual point in time count, our COC is the group, as we all know, that operates and is responsible for the point in time count, and partnership in that area with this survey is critical. Some of the next steps we're looking at for the survey is the ad hoc group will work with our office over the next 2 months to create and finalize a draft and an operational plan for the survey. Both the that final draft and that operational plan will be presented at the February commission meeting for the commission members' input and endorsement. We do, timeline-wise, we anticipate that we will be conducting this survey over the course of roughly a month, and we're believing that month will happen either the month of March or the month of April or somewhere in the middle there. But that'll be part of the operational plan that will be brought forward to this commission in February. Our office is also exploring the possibility of bringing on a project lead to help execute the survey, and we'll provide that update in February as well. So we have a project lead that's incredibly helpful. It's a large lift, the point in time count. And we bring on a nonprofit partner to help execute the count. This, although it's an abbreviated survey, we're looking to survey, as I mentioned in our last meeting, about 20% of the unsheltered population identified in our 2022 point in time count. It's still going to be a really large lift, and potentially identifying and bringing on a project lead with expertise in this area will add a significant amount of value and ensure that we conduct it at the standard we'd like to. Finally, in February, we will be bringing to the commission, a recommended action item to create a ad hoc group that will be responsible for reviewing the results and data and bringing back appropriate recommendations to the commission based on the results and data. Really, this was something that was discussed in our last meeting in October. Sort of looking back at our previous ad hoc groups or the point in time count COC groups that had commission participation, it was I think appropriately noted that often that ad hoc group focuses on the operations and getting things started, but there's a value in having a group that looks at the data, looks at the results, and is able to bring forward potential recommendations. And as this group being an advisory group up to the Board of Supervisors, potentially some policy recommendations. We feel like we're moving at a good speed, and our February meeting will be coming with a very crystal clear plan and survey that we believe folks here will appreciate and hit the tone at what we're looking for. Our next update is...
Before you go there, can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do you want me to wait until he's finished?
Yeah, if you would. He's changing topics a little bit. If you have a question, please go ahead.
So I'm literally sitting here thinking, oh, I'm about to ask a question, which I shouldn't. But I'm going to ask it anyway. You literally said we don't have an operator for the cold weather shelter, right?
That's
right. We had Salvation Army in years past and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure this has been a topic at the board, and I have to confess, I don't watch the board meetings unless I have an item on it. My bad. But my point is, we're supposed to end homelessness, and that could either be long-term or short-term, and that to me means somebody needs a place to sleep tonight. I don't run my heater at night, but when I woke up this morning, our house was 62 degrees, and we had double pane windows, okay? So that means the outside temperature when I went out to get the newspaper was in the 40s. So that's not acceptable. So, you got some of the best and brightest people sitting around this table. And I couldn't let that pass. Like, that would be malpractice for us to not have a conversation about that. And I know we're short on time potentially, although I'm willing to stay and go to the board event after because I know the chairman has to, but that can't be. So the question is, cold is here, like, now. So what, that's an emergency.
Well, I appreciate that, and the Salvation Army had in the beginning, it stepped up, but we had a lawsuit threat, and they backed away, I think. If you'd care to, General.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to respond to that. Yeah, we were more than happy to support a winter shelter, and we endeavored to do that, but it got complicated with the location we had in mind. We felt that the armory was just not a suitable place. We propose an alternative, which is what we've used previously and have had very good success with, but that became...
You're talking about the armory here at San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had an alternative, but it became somewhat controversial and challenged, and Salvation Army is not about getting into lawsuits and getting into litigation. That's not the place we play and work in, so we humbly said we'll withdraw because it got to the point where...
Yeah, we did have another opportunity, but again, a legal threat, this time from the city of Santa Ana. And it all went through Judge Carter, and it just didn't work. Time we had sorted through it. But I agree, it is a crisis. It's not for lack of effort that we have been working on it, but we don't have an alternative at this point.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm not insinuating anything. I mean, I know how difficult it is to solve the world's problems. But my attitude with Santa Ana is, oh, what? So what? I mean, you're going to have people dying from the cold on the street. And the last I checked, and I think a lot of people know my relationship with Dave Carty, Mary being my wife, and Peter Turner in forever. I mean, every one of us who sits on this commission should show up in his courtroom on that. I mean, Judge Carter's the kind of guy that listens to the community. We're the commission to end homelessness. Like, we have a responsibility to go and weigh in. We all represent aspects of the community. I feel horrible hearing that kind of update and not saying, what am I trying to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah.
And homelessness is not a long-term problem. It could be just a place to stay tonight. And it is freezing cold out. Bone chill cold. So I don't know what, I mean, again, I'm not privy to all the gory details about what's happening with the litigation, and I know that Santa Ana, I just read a quick article on LAS. I know Santa Ana is saying we've done our fair share. South County isn't doing anything. I've heard that for years, okay? In the meantime, while we're all arguing our legal issues, the fact of the matter is these are real people who are living on the street, right? And they are in real trouble. So, you know, it's easy for me to say, oh, you know, let's go to court and fight it, but, and, you know, that's county council's job primarily. But I'm just saying, Mr. Chairman, if you need us as a resource, I think every one of us should be willing to go to Judge Carter's court and speaking on behalf of this commission in tow with you and others and say this isn't acceptable, Judge Carter. You need to allow something to happen on a temporary basis at least so that the Salvation Army isn't in harm's way. They're just trying, for goodness sakes, help people.
Well, the judge initially was skeptical, but in the end did allow the shelter, but it wasn't the judge that really, he was permissive, wanted to do it, but you still have to have somebody to do it. And that's been a very futile search to do that.
Well, we should figure out, again, I'm way over my skis, but yeah. We should figure out then how to either indemnify or do something in place of the Salvation Army. In other words, I get it, they don't want to be in this fray. I go to court, that's all I do is fight people and argue and litigate crap all day long. There are those of us who, that's our jobs. I can understand their job is to be a provider. I would just ask us to not allow that to be the situation and figure out forthwith, like, what can we do? And I think every one of us here should be screaming about this.
No, I think you're right. And shelter is one of our pillars. This body does not have the power, actually. We can only advise, but we can't advocate, which I think you're indicating.
Mr. Chairman, I've been in Judge Carter's court when I was still on the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
He had people like us, right? Police chiefs, fire chiefs, healthcare. He had his own, that jury box, all over that courtroom. He wanted to know, and he wanted to hear from us. And I think if we make it clear we want to be heard, I think, you know, that could be monumental. That's all I'm saying. I'm willing to do that because I cannot, it doesn't sit well with me at all. It's almost immoral to not have a place for people to be staying at night with these weather conditions.
Well, he doesn't have the power to order a particular place to be a shelter. That I think is one of the issues that happened. He is certainly in favor of it, wanted it to happen, but you still have to have a place that is willing to do that. And I don't know what the solution would be, whether county could indemnify you and you would go ahead. I don't know. But that's I know you had concerns. You had a good spot. You were willing. And I'm very concerned and a little bit upset the way that you kind of got chased out. I appreciate
that. Well, I would offer to be briefed offline. You can take as much time with me as you want. And I'll try to figure out how to help or make suggestions because this is not okay.
Okay, thank you for that. Yes, Paul.
Certainly I support.
I think we all do.
But I think whatever the hurdles are, whether it's the location, whether it's the operator, whether it's lawsuits, we should start to identify what do we have to do to change the situation, right? Who do we need to put forward and see or talk to, or what do we need to bring to bear to cause that change? And we have to do it. The nights are 40, 45 degrees. My morning run's pretty cold now, right? So, you know, I know.
Yeah.
But we need to sort of not sort of make it a general discussion of we're not able to do it. If it's a place problem, let's figure out what places could do it. If it's an operator problem, let's figure out, you know, what the hurdles for the operator are. We have one who said we would like to do it, except I know a couple. Let's start to quickly, put down the list of hurdles that we have to remove in order to do this, and we need to act.
Oh, I appreciate that, and we've been exhausting everything we could do. We did have representation, as Judge Carter has the power over the agreement that we signed to mitigate, but he can't order you to do something.
No, but he has the power not to issue an injunction. And so if we were to go ahead and do something, right, an affirmative act, it would take court intervention to stop that affirmative act. And that's where we have potentially some leverage. So we take an action, and the reaction is to stop our action. And then the question is, who's responsible with the agreement? If we get in front of Judge Carter, and he understands from a humanity point of view, we're trying to keep people from dying on the streets from the cold. Okay, well then the ball's in his court to shut that down, right? And then the ball's in our court, in conjunction with the county, to say, okay, who's gonna, you know, if they got a judgment against them for attorney's fees or whatever, that's not fair to put them in that place. But if we as a community say, we're willing to step up on that, and we're willing to litigate that, and we're willing to cover those costs, then they know they're operating without any financial exposure, and that might actually advance the ball down the field.
Well, I think that agreement could be provided if you would reconsider, as you have a spot that is ready, and very quickly you could respond to that. And, so I was disappointed, very much so, when that did not work. But if there is a legal issue, a threat, I'm willing to ask the county to indemnify you and hold it harmless, whatever that threat is.
Sure, we can talk about that.
Okay. We do need to move on. I would remark that not only did we spend more than a year creating the pillars, but also has best practices that are part of that. And it went to a ad hoc committee that did admirable work. It came back here. We went through it, criticized it, made changes, and it now has been approved by the Board of Supervisors. So that's real that you see. Now we're trying, the next step is to make use of what we have here.
So maybe I'll work through my last two updates, if that works.
Okay,
and that was a good segue. So our update, I wanted to provide, and we'll continue each meeting to provide an update on homeless service pillar report. So we recently convened, or we being the Office of Care Coordination and the CEO's office, recently convened a group of department leadership and our procurement office leadership here at the county to discuss a process in which the county will ensure that all county contracts and programs will align with the best practices and guiding principles that are identified in the homeless service system pillar report. And obviously, I should say, all contracts and programs that fit into these pillars. As one can imagine, these efforts affect a large number of contracts and programs. We're in the process of creating a protocol on essentially in three different tracks. Those three tracks are for new contracts that come forward to ensure that they align with our pillars, contracts that are being renewed, and then county-operated programs. Needless to say, I bring that up to state that we're deep in that creation process, but we're still working through it, and I hope to come back to this commission in our February meeting with a plan of implementation regarding when this is going to be in effect and how it will roll out on the county front. Additionally, related to the pillars, our office is going to be working with the different commissioners throughout the next year and reaching out to all of you to discuss how we might be able to showcase how each of your organizations or departments are utilizing the pillars and how it shares those best practices and how you might be implementing that in your specific department and or organization. Lastly, we wanted to discuss / preview some of the topics we'll be bringing to the commission meeting over the next year. Each topic will be viewed and discussed here through the lens of the pillar framework. We'll be focusing on with each topic topics discussion around analyzing how access, barriers, and opportunities are impacted and affected by the specific topic or resource we're discussing. Does the resource or system that we're discussing ensure that access to the system is maximized? Does it help eliminate barriers to services? Does it increase capacity and opportunity for collaboration. I think cold weather shelter and what D.A. Spitzer brings up is an example of the discussion we're looking at, the themes of ensuring that the folks we're here to serve, that we're maximizing access to resources for them. It's in our framework as we read through it that we're doing everything we can to decrease barriers that would prevent them from accessing those resources. And then we're analyzing whether or not we have enough resources or opportunities for them. Ideally identifying, these potential barriers or access or discussion points that we come up will provide us with a set of policy recommendations. For example, in our February meeting, we'll be discussing housing and help to facilitate that discussion. We'll have two groups presenting here. First, we'll have leadership from our Orange County Community Resources here to discuss their updated housing funding strategy that's going to be presented to the Board of Supervisors at the next Board of Supervisor meeting on the 20th of December. This housing funding strategy does a whole host of things, but one thing that it does that folks might help reference them to is it identifies the number of affordable and permanent supportive housing units are needed in our system. The last number was 2,700 when it was analyzed after our 2019 point in time count. They've committed to updating the strategy after every point in time count. So now that we've conducted 2022, they're coming back with a new strategy. And then the second presentation will be from Dr. George Tita from UCI, who's recently published really important research around the effects of affordable housing in a neighborhood, specifically discussing the effects on crime and property value that I think is incredibly important to this group when discussing housing and the push towards increasing housing. Additionally, we're also in future meetings considering bringing groups like the Public Housing Authority to this forum to discuss how our community's maximizing efforts to utilize Section 8 vouchers and how those four public housing authorities are either working together or need to work together to ensure that there's consistency throughout our community in accessing those. And then the last one I'll mention that we're considering is bringing forward, I'll call it our virtual front door. It was brought up, we've had this discussion in these meetings previously, but as we all know, there are many different, or a handful of hotline numbers that are called, 211, OC Links, OC Navigators. So I think it's important, and this commission can provide some real value with that group to potentially talk about and ensure that there's some type of consistency and collaboration amongst those groups. So we're excited in the upcoming year to bring efforts and work in those areas to this group to really have constructive conversation, potentially come out of it with potential policy recommendations and action items.
Okay, are there any questions of the board? Yes, please, Paul.
I have a question that comes back to earlier on the based on the pillars and the testing against them and so forth. I've expressed and continue to worry that we did a point in time count in February, and we still haven't gotten the reports and data back to make it available, and now we're well into trying to plan the next survey without really looking at the data and how we want to supplement that data or what we gaps in that data we might want to fill in. But I think there's another way we might go after that based on this. So this is maybe our first opportunity to take this project, the funding and the resource, and weigh it against our pillars, right? How does this effort, we may end up contracting effort out, how does this weigh fit into our pillars? What does it contribute? contribute to, you know, our pillars and how is this. So we haven't set a mission for it, right, as we start to report. What's the objective? How will we know that we got what we wanted so we can look at it, you know, going forward? And, you know, we want to get data every year. So anyway, this might be an opportunity for us to weigh against, you know, what we're trying to do on our pillars and where this work fits in to whether it's in the shelter part, whether it's in the outreach part, prevention, wherever it fits in there, we should know how it fits in and how the data that we're collecting is going to get used within these pillars to advance that. So
Most recent point in time, Kyle, a lot of data has been derived and it is being used. You know, it's not like it's just put away in a drawer. It is. And I think part of the comments I heard is the point in time count is based on federal standards, and there's some gaps.
Yeah.
And we can maybe take care of some of those things.
That's why I think this survey gives us an opportunity to also fill in gaps, right?
That's part of the point, yeah. Yeah, well, we'll get the data that may tell us when you see the data where it'll be used. But yeah, Madam Clerk, do you have any public commenters?
We do not have any requests to speak.
All right. Well, thank all of you. We now have a calendar. Madam Clerk, could you read the next item?
Yes. Item 3 under the action items is to approve the proposed Commission to End Homelessness 2023 calendar.
I'll move the item, Mr. Chairman.
There was one glitch in the calendar you're looking at. It was based on this year's calendar, not next year's. So the
we corrected what's in front
you
of you.
The correct one now.
Yeah, what's in so front of everyone's correct.
The Wednesday is still a good day, but its number kind of shifted a little bit. So anyway, it's what it appears to be. But year to year, you have the numbers change on the dates. So, all right, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Any objection? Well, I should ask for public comment. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
We did not have any requests for public comment.
Oh, with that, motion carries. Thank you. Let's go on then to the next item, please. Madam Clerk, would you read it?
Yes. Item 4 under the action items is to approve the Commission to End Homelessness minutes from the October 19th, 2022 regular meeting. And we do not have any requests to speak on this item.
Thank you. Any corrections, additions, otherwise may I have a motion?
So moved.
That's a tie there, so one of you is the second. So.
Who was the other?
Sue.
Okay.
And I'll second.
All right, and there's no public comment. Is there any objection by anyone? Motion carries. Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item?
Chairman, that concludes the agenda items for today.
So now to public comment.
And we have not received any requests from the public to speak under general public comments.
All right. We might end soon. So at this point, we're moving on to commissioner comments. Any comments anyone has?
I just have a question for staff.
Sure.
You'll get out of here by 2 o'clock. What is our goal next year? What are we supposed to do? We just approved the calendar with all these meetings. We've accomplished this agenda in 45 minutes. What is the state of this commission for next year now that we approved all these things? What can I look forward to and what expectations do you have of us in terms of our workload and what you need from us?
Well, I think Doug Beck outlined a number of things that are coming up. And I think we want to start using the pillars so we can get into the study of the components of homelessness. That's sort of the point of breaking it into these different pillars rather than a broad brush. They do interrelate, yes. But if we can study the components, maybe we can understand a little better and find some solutions.
The board itself is really a body that simply recommends different actions to the Board of Supervisors. That's its role. I sometimes think that's not as much as it could do, that if we had a little budget, we could do some things, but we're not budgeted to do anything other than study. So if you would like to propose something, certainly we can do that.
Do you mind if I jump in real quick? I think what we're trying to outline, we spent the last year doing this framework, and it's essentially a set of standards. What we'd like to bring forward each meeting is a different group and area. As we know here in Orange County, we've got one county, 34 cities, and a lot of folks doing similar work. And a big portion of, I believe, or an area of impact for this commission is to bring those groups together that are doing similar work to ensure that they're working together, that they're meeting the standards that we've identified here, and for us to provide expectations, recommendations to either those groups and or the board. I think the Public Housing Authority is a perfect example. Now, they're doing excellent work working together, but you have four public housing authorities that cover Orange County. And as an individual or family experiencing homelessness, I think, what we've outlined here as our standards is that your service should not be affected based on which housing authority you are assigned to. I think the discussions around the call centers and bringing them forward is incredibly important. And I think it goes back to ensuring that, like I said, these groups are working together, but that we're increasing, I know I keep saying it, but increasing access to our system. I think over the years, we've created a big, a robust set of services. I'm not saying that that they meet the need of everyone or that it has the capacity to serve everyone in the way that we'd like. But it's large enough where we need to ensure that it's coordinated, and it's large enough that it can be slightly confusing and complex to the person we're trying to serve. And it's our responsibility to ensure that that system, that we're able to help folks navigate through that system in a way that doesn't feel as complex as the system is. So I hope that, like I said, each meeting we bring together different groups in our industry to ensure that we're improving in those areas.
If I could jump in, I don't want to answer for them, but one of the things that I'm looking forward to for next year, like when you talked about the housing navigation and all that, is I'm learning more and more as I delve into this world, and you start to see where the holes are. And then I think we have an opportunity when we identify these holes, and housing is going to be one of them. The voucher system is going to be one of them, I'm certain. We have an opportunity then to advocate with those that we work in and around to try to get that ball rolling. Because we can design the best system of care in the whole world, but if there's no one there to take the client and get him into the next piece, they're not going anywhere. And so, and it's not going to be seen as success, it's going to be seen as failure to the people that we serve, And so that's one of the things that I'm truly looking forward to next year, is having an education on all these. There's so many moving parts within this continuum of care that I think even operating in this space, I was not fully aware of. And I want to identify those areas where we can help move the needle as a group of people to say, listen, and you're right, with the judge is another example. And one of the things we're going to try to accomplish in the North next year is have the judge study our service delivery and say they're doing it right. So when an advocate who might be focused on litigation comes to them and says, I don't like what they're doing over there, the judge can say, wait a minute, I came down, I studied their model, I approved every step that which they're taking, and every time they make a change, they bring it back to me. Those are the types of things that I think we can leverage some positive movement in the needle. That's just me, forecasting for next year. What I could try to focus on as a person, and they're helping me do that by some of the presentations they're providing. So I don't know if that's helpful, but I'm not trying to answer for them. But when you ask that, that's exactly what I was thinking about prior to today's meeting. What am I going to do here next year?
The only thing I'd say, after watching the election in LA and having been very involved in this county for 3 decades, I was part of that discussion in Laguna and Miguel when Lisa Bartlett almost got her head taken off when she suggested putting a homeless shelter next to the city hall in Laguna and Miguel. I was at that council meeting and it was ugly. You want to bring forward this UCI discussion, and UCI is now advancing through an academic, this idea that property values are not diminished by putting low-income housing and or, like, you know, this type of housing in communities. I learned a long time ago, if you don't bring the public along with you in terms of support, it doesn't matter what mountain you preach from, you're never going to succeed. I think I know this county pretty darn well now, and this idea that we're going to convince people that if you allow certain kinds of housing next door to you, just like the granny path, remember, you can put another house on your property, people are going crazy when the legislature did that. There's a huge opening right now with CareCorp, and we're dealing with that on the Orange County Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. This governor, for the first time, has said, we need to focus on the stability and the mental health of that particular person, and we're going to use government intervention to try to potentially stabilize them, potentially against their will. That is a huge moment in California history right now, because we used to medicate people against their will, warehouse them, and that shocked the conscience of a lot of people, especially after one flew over the cuckoo's nest. So my point being is, I think we need to discuss how we can work with the courts and work with getting those people into the, it's going to be the public guardian, against their will, essentially now, to stabilize them. Because I believe philosophically, you will never force housing into communities against their will. You'll have chaos. In this county especially, this is not Los Angeles. That's point one. And point two, until you stabilize the client and get them where they can be in a house and actually take care of themselves and that property, you will never solve the housing problem. You can't give somebody, we saw that with the motel after we cleared the riverbed. We got stuck with a $3 million bill because they destroyed that property. They took the curtains, the refrigerators, the sheets, and destroyed that place. I'm just asking you all as staff to look at CareCorp and the individual person, and let's have a conversation about that new area of the law too, about stabilizing people, so that if we do move them into housing, the community will understand what type of person potentially is moving there, as opposed to the person they think is banging their head against the utility box in their neighborhood, which we have those too. And you can't put a person like that in the housing and expect them to be self-sufficient. So I would just say for 2023, we should not just look at convincing people your property values aren't going to be diminished. We should also look at how the state now is dealing with these very, very difficult individuals and what avenues we have to be involved in stabilizing these populations so they can go in housing. We don't meld that next year, we're losing a big, big opportunity because of CareCorp.
Oh, thank you for that. I remember, because we had to pay for that hotel, they're ripping metal out of the walls to sell.
Right.
And it just totally destroyed that place. And so I also remember when I was building affordable housing, which goes back 20 years. And in those days, the NIMBY factor was much stronger than it is today. And I thought it was well settled that affordable housing does not diminish property values. I didn't know another study was even necessary, but it's coming out. I'm glad to see the backup coming. The CareCorp, we're in the first cohort. And we as a county, I think, in better position than any other to lead the way. And I say that we have a collaborative court system already in place. It's not as large as we need it to be. This may be an opportunity to expand it, because the care court that the governor is suggesting can be a component of that. So we already have the setup there, but not enough space. So that's part of that. I would also point to our BeWell. That's something that very few counties actually have. I'd point to Project Hope that the Chief Dunn is proposing as being a great resource. And there's another one that needs to be put in that, and that's Cal Optima. They have a five-year vision, among other things, in that five-year vision. The end of that vision, by that time, they'll have a mental health and
physical health, a whole person assessment available to every one of their members on an annual basis. That's some 950,000 people. And so when you combine all those things, we have a lot of things. And yeah, it needs to be more coordinated, but it's there. It takes time, unfortunately. And you're right about bringing the public along. That has to be. That's why we move so slow, because in a democracy, you don't go anywhere without the people. So with that, I'd kind of like to get to my open house, unless there are other things. If we can, yes. All right.
Mr. Spitzer, if I may.
Yeah, quickly.
We're not quite, we don't get the topics here early enough. The cold weather shelter could be dealt with.
That has priority, so and if we can communicate on that.
The care courts, right? They've come out. How will we utilize them, right? How do we give advice of how to take advantage of that? How does that affect how it fits into the picture? We need to be ahead of the game, not reacting to them. We have a cold weather shelter problem, so we're reactive. This commission really would be most effective at being proactive well ahead of those topics. So as we look at next year's topics, let's try to get in, I would suggest we try to get in front of some of these issues that have been sticking issues every year that we need.
I appreciate that, but I think we need some credit for what we've already been doing. I felt like the governor kind of stole our magic that we've been working on now for a number of years. It was not the severely mentally ill. We did not have capacity for that. But everything else in our coordinated system that we're trying to bring together and build on has been in study and working on. Thank you, Todd, for your help on our OCC, whatever
JC.
That is. JC.
Can it possible, Mr. Chairman, in January that instead of just like our normal meeting, this is so important, and I think Chief Dunn raised a very important point. I'd love to hear his priorities in North Spa for next year and everything else. Or maybe we just do a half day, a 4-hour retreat here, fine. But where we kind of just put everything on the table, all the pieces, refresh our memory, tell us all about the new legislation, what kind of new programs are happening, how that might be integrated. I mean, she's running the United Way, and she needs to be briefed on care court, right? I mean, everybody who has a piece of the action in this county, we all need to be, running on the same freeway at the same speed. So I'm just open. I'm willing to set that aside if you send out a memo early enough with a time. I mean, a half a day workshop for all of us to get squared away would be
public invited.
We could work on that. And lastly, I know we're on, just to provide a little bit more context to the cold weather shelters, I'm sure you have picked up, it's been a complicated journey. Our office, just to give a little bit of a history here, and then our office put out an RFP early in the summer to operate it. There's a handful of things that make running a cold weather shelter difficult. It's hours, the length of time, it's temporariness, it's staffing, the environment in which the cold weather shelter sits in, as we've discussed today. When we put that RFP out, we did not receive any, no respondents. We extended the RFP, still no respondents. We reached out to all of the prior operators, Nursan and his team were really amazing and gracious enough to offer not only him as the operator, but a better site, which is, his site. There was just challenges, legal challenges that we've worked through. We're at the point, the judge has technically ordered us to open up the cold weather shelter, but obviously that requires, at the Armory, that requires an operator, and we're still working through that journey to find an operator. So we can continue that discussion and yeah. how the, you know, hearing how the commission wants to help in that effort is encouraging, but I wanted to provide a little bit of additional context to and history of where we're at. So.
All right, I thank all of you for coming in on the holidays. And if you have a little time, you might go over to the other building, as we have five offices open. There's food in every one of them. And so please join us, if you would. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.